tried to raise them in the way they'd go, but you know, they all kind of wiggle a little bit sometimes. It happens. I want to encourage you parents, because there never was a thought, should my kid come to church? There never was a thought. It wasn't like, are they going to get up? It was like, they're going to get up and they're going to be at church. It wasn't as if they wondered if they had chores to do and work to do and what was going to happen. It was that they knew that if they didn't do the list, we were going to just put it on the list the next day and check it again. Parenting doesn't come with manuals. It's what it is consistency. It's doing the same thing sometimes over and over again, and it's a year, and you go, oh my gosh, I can't believe. Well, you know what? Pretty soon you're gonna click your eye and you're gonna blink and they're gonna be grown up. And Ryan, I'm proud of the man you became. Thank you.
I was back here giggling. I said to Rufus, I said, I wiggled a little and Ben wiggled a lot. I'm just kidding. That was funny, wasn't it? He didn't think so. I don't know why. But I'm blessed to be here. You know, and my mom said, my parents always get me choked up. My mom said that there wasn't a choice to go to church. And I say this for some parents. I know there's some kids in here this morning that they were kicking and screaming on the way in. And I say this for the kids too. Maybe you're not even fond of being here. And you're saying, what's this chunky young kid got to say to me this morning? I don't have anything. But I know who does. And I just want to encourage not only the parents to stay faithful, but I want to encourage the kids to stay faithful, because I could tell you, I don't have a huge blowout testimony, but what I do have is this. I remember being a young boy sitting in a service just like one of these and saying, God, I don't know how I'm going to get through school. God, I don't know how I'm going to get by. I don't know how it's all going to happen. But I'll tell you this, church. If you're faithful to God, He'll be faithful to you. And things that I thought I had no chance at, God will just open up the door. He doesn't look for potential all the time. You might be sitting here this morning, you might say, I just don't know what my potentials are. He looks at a willing heart, and He'll give you the grace that you need. He'll give you the glory and the anointing that you need to do what you thought was impossible in your own strength. So I can't say it enough. Stay faithful, and every time my mom talks, it gets me all choked up. So it's your fault this morning. And let me just say something else to you. It's nice to be humble. It's nice to be conservative. It's nice to walk in humility. I'm all for that. But what my father's doing this morning, he is a pastor to pastors. He is a leader to leaders. He is a man of God to young men. And my father did what a great father would do. My father went to help a young man this morning. And I can't say enough how much I respect my dad and love him. People ask me all the time, Bradley asked me the last time, is it easier to preach with him here or with him not here? I said, I love when my father is here, when I'm ministering. I love when my father is here, when the Lord is using me. And I can't stand it when he's not here. So this morning, I just honor him. He is a pastor to pastors. Amen? Amen. Would you honor him this morning? All right, all the crying for now is done. For now, I want you to open your Bible, if you have it, to Genesis 33, the first book of the Bible. Don't let your heart race. I won't take you to the back. I won't confuse you with where we're going. The first book of the Bible, Genesis 33, open your Bible. And now Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, And there was Esau was coming, and with him 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two maidservants, and he put the maidservants and their children in the front, and Leah and her children behind, and Rachel and Joseph last. And he crossed over before them, bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, fell on his neck to kiss him. And they wept. Thank God the tissues are up here today. I'm a mess. And I want to bring attention to a phrase in this scripture. Now Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked. The title of my message this morning, because if I don't give one, Nicole will get after me. The title of my message is, Lift Up Your Eyes. Father, in Jesus' name, you know I can't do this. You know I can't do it on my own. I need, Father, your Holy Spirit. You've spoken a word to my heart. You've spoken your sweet voice into my ear. Father, use these lips. Use these eyes. Hear through these ears. Father, we want your anointing this morning. We want your glory. We want your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. David said in Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes into the hills from whence my help comes from. My help, my assistance, my help cometh from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Jesus said himself, lift up your eyes, your redemption is near. Whenever there's a phrase like that in the scripture that I hear over and over and over again, if Jesus spoke, lift up your eyes, lift up your head, there's some importance to it. They weren't saying, David didn't say, lift up your eyes, because he didn't need help. Jacob, the scripture doesn't say, lift up your head, lift up your eyes, because he doesn't need help. He is saying it because he needs God's help. We're speaking, and don't let me assume that you know who Jacob and Esau is. Don't let me assume you know the story. Jacob and Esau, the hand of God in Genesis, the unction of the Holy Spirit, they come from an interesting background. Jacob and Esau in Genesis 33 are twin brothers. They are born of Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac was born of Abraham and Sarah. It's a blessed family. It's no ordinary family. It is a family of theological excellence. It's a dynasty. It's a hooked up family for the young people. It's hooked up. God is the God. Remember in the scripture, God is the God of Abraham. He's the God of Isaac. He's the God of Jacob. Great stock, great history, great lineage, holiness, greatness. You can look back over aunts and uncles, grandfathers and grandmothers. Great stock, great family, hooked up family, gifted anointing family. My mother told us when we were looking for girls. Why are you laughing? My mother used to say, make sure you meet the family. Make sure you meet her mother. Make sure you meet her father. Make sure you meet grandpa. Make sure you meet grandma. Make sure you meet the aunts and the uncles. I used to look back at her and go, well, I don't care about them. She's hot. My wife is hot. But I didn't understand them, but I understand now why it matters. Aunts and uncles, grandfathers, grandmothers, great stock. Jacob and Esau come from an important family, a solid family. The hooked up family. Got it all together. You might be sitting there this morning, well, I'm not from that. That's not my background. I come from a mess. I've got some relief for you. It can be the most hooked up, set up family. It can be the Abraham, the Isaac, and the Jacob family. Great men of God, great faith. Abraham's had so much faith. The scripture says he picked up a sharp stone. He went out into the woods and he circumcised himself. When I read that, I said, hail to the chief. No contest here. You won. Greater faith than I. Lord, have mercy on the rest of us. But all the great faith, and all the great anointing, and all the great power, and all the great background. Watched it for years, read it in scripture. You can be of great background. You can be of great excellence. You can be the dynasty of families. But fortunately or unfortunately, hooked up families can have some hooked up issues. Hooked up problems. Messed up issues. Crazy stuff that goes on behind closed doors. That you don't hear about. That we hide in church. We walk in the back door with a pressed shirt. Our teeth brushed. Our breath is perfect before we make the back door. Amen. We can look great. But beyond the facade, there's something. Something gnawing. Serious issues. Serious complications. I remember as a kid, my father shared in a Bible study some weeks ago, Tuesday mornings, 7 o'clock. You owe me, Phil Gardner, wherever you are. There you are. My father shared a story about one of the band members driving after church to a gas station, and he came walking out with a 24-pack of beer. I was sitting in the car, and I remember that day like it was yesterday, walking back to his car, throwing it in his car, and thinking to myself, oh my Lord, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. Issues behind closed doors. Problems beyond closed doors. Anybody else been through issues? Problem was, at that age, I looked to an example in people, not in God. I could tell so many stories. I could tell stories about the band member with a case of beer. I could tell you stories about my family, about me. My mother said, we did the best we could. They surely did, and we did what we wanted sometimes. Amen. I could tell you all kinds of stories. The Abraham, the Isaac, and the Jacob stories. They're all through the scripture. They're all through the text. The song, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. People, that's where that song came from. The Abraham was a friend of God. But in spite of great faith, great anointing, there was great issues. Abraham has Isaac. Abraham gets old. Sarah dies. Are you with me? Isaac needs a wife and marries Rebecca. And Rebecca, well, her family, they had something, a cultural tendency. They were sneaky. They were devious. They were drama driven. Just look straightforward and look confused. Nobody will know that you're making some attachments there. Most of the things we fight about are not in our DNA. Some are, but most of them aren't. They are in the cultural way we handle things. It's in the way that we create and solve conflict. Some people are only happy when there is drama. Watch wherever they go. Everything they touch, everywhere they go, they bring drama. Nice is boring. They pray for nice with their lips. But from their heart, drama, issues. It's just normal to them. It's like a bottle and a blanket, nursed on it, fed on it, raised on it, surrounded by it. They produce it. It becomes the air they breathe. And anything less than it is just toxic. Isaac marries into that. And they do what married people hopefully do. That's another sermon. They have kids. And what do the kids start to do? They begin to fight. Begin to have issues within the family. They're growing up. Jacob had the favor of his mother. Esau had the favor of his father. Esau was a man's man. Hunter, fisher, rough, tough, hairy, a man's man. Jacob didn't have it like that. He was more artistic. He liked to cook. Different. And it's interesting as you read the text, sometimes we look at people and we think that they're weak because they don't have the gift we do. Cultural tendencies, culture, tendencies in family. We think they're weak because they don't have the strengths we do. But it's interesting. I've met people through ministry and through life. I'll fight you. I'll beat that guy up. That's great. If we're in a fight out, drag out, knockout situation, but if we're in a think out situation, there's other people that'll whip your tail. Strengths and areas. Never look at down on someone because their strength is different than your strength. We're made up. The church is made up of people with different strengths, different abilities, different callings, different anointings. Amen. Jacob, he was sneaky. He had the sneaky anointing. Jacob was sneaky like his mom, Rebecca. Rebecca was sneaky like her uncle. Sneaky was a family tendency, tendencies that run through families. Certain tendencies run through families. There's a difference between weak and wicked. Wicked tricks weak. Jacob tricks Esau out of his birthright. He cooks up some soup. Read the scripture. I love it when people read after. Cooks up a bowl of soup. Takes it to his brother. Tricks him out of his birthright. Tricks him out of his call. Messes with him. Are you with me? Tricks him up. Messes him up. Takes the birthright. Jacob. Wicked. Tricks out weak. You can be set up. Listen to this. Kids, you guys should listen to this. You can be set up to be the guy, to be the girl. You can be set up to be awesome. Gifted, anointed, called. But if you cannot control your urges, you will lose your opportunity. Esau loses his birthright, his opportunity, his gifting, his anointing, his glory out of a cup of soup. One cup of soup. Be careful that you don't lose your gift. Be careful that you don't lose your anointing. Be careful that you don't lose your stuff over an urge. I'm not talking about just drug urges because we talk about drug addictions in church all the time, but there's some sex addicts in church. Come on now. We can get all quiet now. Oh, where's he going? There's some sex addicts in church. There's some money addicts in church. There's some control addicts in church. Right? I've been in church all my life. I tell people all the time, I feel like I've seen it all. And then the next week I see something more. Controlled by urges. Losing everything by going from marriage to marriage over urges. Interesting in the scripture though. Listen to this. Listen to how the scripture depicts this. The scripture shows us that Jacob is a God man. Tricking his brother. He's a God man. He's gifted. Hand of God is on his life. Jacob believes. And yet, he messes with his brother. His own brother. His own brother. Jacob is a God man, but he is not a good man. It is possible you can be a Christian, and because of tendencies you were raised with, struggle to make sound choices because of your hungers. Esau is not a God man, but he is a good man. There are people, listen to this, there are people who are better than you by nature than you are by practice. I'm going to say it again. There are people who are better than you by nature than you are by practice. You go to church, you go to the Bible study, you try to do all the, I read my Bible every day, and all of a sudden, bam, I'm in sin. Bam, I'm doing the wrong thing. Bam, I'm out on an island. And there's a guy that doesn't go to church. He doesn't go to the Bible study. That's why people in society, well, he's a hypocrite. Oh, he does this, he does that. And that's what I believe the church might do to Jacob. Oh, Jacob, he tricked his brother. We're done. He's a hypocrite. He's not a real Christian. Throw him out the back door. The problem with that is, that's not the God way. God says, come in, sit down right there, you belong. You are a part of City Church. You belong. Then you know what happens? Then somebody preaches, somebody speaks, the Holy Spirit works on a person's life, and all of a sudden they begin to believe. The problem is they believe, yes, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, but the behavior hasn't changed yet. Are you with me right now? They belong. What do you mean they belong? They're a bad person. That's Jesus. That's not me. That's the Jesus we serve. Sit down right there in that open seat. You belong to this church. And then as time goes on, all of a sudden, something starts to happen, and you can see it in a person. You can see it in someone's life where they start to go, oh, you know what? I believe what he's saying. I'm starting to believe what Pastor Marty preaches every single week. And the belief takes root, and then you know what happens? And hear me, and we get it so backwards. We want people to behave. Sit there, look pretty, say the right things, Christianese, get it all going in Jesus' name. And then we'll accept you. And then you can belong to our little club. No, that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. Did you hear what I said? Jesus is, come in. You're a part of the family. You might not believe right, and you for sure don't behave right, and you still belong. Come on, give Jesus praise on that. Esau is not a God man, but he's a good man. There are people who are better by nature than we are by practice. Amen. Jacob has everything. Jacob and Esau. Jacob has everything. Jacob has a notoriety. He has the attention. He has finances. He has the family. He's had wives. He's enjoyed all the things that the world has. He is blessed, but he feels disconnected. Have you ever walked in here? Your finances were in order. Maybe even your family's in order. And the Lord's been stirring in your heart. And you walk in the back door and you say, something's still not right. I feel an emptiness. I feel something going on within me that I can't explain to you. And that's where Jacob is. He's got it all worked out. He's got all the things of the flesh. He's got it all working. But there's something gnawing deep on the inside of him that says, something's still not right. Jacob says, oh, God, help me. And we don't do that in church. We, oh, Lord, please help me. I don't. But Jacob screams, Lord, help me. I need your help. I screwed up my relationship with my brother 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I screwed it up. And I feel that gnawing deep inside of me. I've got everything else. You can have it all. But I need you, Lord, to piece this back together. Jacob has grown through his mistakes. See? Jacob screws up. Jacob plays games. He does the wrong thing. You know what God says? He pleads for him. Come back. 20 years. Listen to me. People who know what 20 years is, 20 years he lives without the love, the affection, the care of his own brother. There's people in here right now. You say, yeah, that's me. Dying on the inside. Jacob grows. He begins to realize what really matters. He's grown up. He's wiser. He's smarter now than he was before. He's becoming a good man now. Oh, that's so good. I don't even care if you amen me. That's so good. Because it's such the opposite in church. Sometimes. I'm going to beat this drum for as long as the Lord will let me. You belong. You belong. You belong. You might not have it all together. You might not know the songs. You might come in here. You might have got wasted last night. You belong. Jacob spends 20 years of his life with something missing. Feeling the pain. Feeling the agony. He's mad at himself. Read the scripture. He's mad at himself. And here comes God into the situation. 20 years later, it takes him 20 years. Lord, let it not take me 20 years. Takes him 20 years. And in the 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis, the chapter prior to what I read, God is there to help Jacob. Scripture says, Jacob left his family. He crossed over the river. And he begins to walk up the mountain. He gets to the top of the mountain. He begins to wrestle. The scripture says that he began to wrestle with a man. Listen to this now. He began to wrestle with a man. Wrestled, wrestled, wrestled. He said, let me go. Let me go. And Jacob said, no, not till you bless me. Sunlight came. Listen to this now. Sunlight came. The sun came up. The dawning of a new day came. And Jacob said, let me. Jacob began to say, it's a new day. Let me go. Please let me go. What's your name? He said. The scripture says, what? He says, what is your name? Jacob says, who are you that you won't let me go? Says in the midst of them wrestling, in the midst of them fighting, that God actually tweaked the tendon in his hip. Oh, God doesn't hurt people. God doesn't do anything bad. Read Genesis 32 and tell me if he doesn't. He tweaks a tendon in his hip. And the scripture says that the mountain, the name was changed. Listen to this. To Penuel. And you know what Penuel means? I have seen God face to face, and he preserved my life. God will bring you to a place. You might be at the lowest place of your life. God will bring you to a place. The song didn't help you. I am not alone. Oh, that's nonsense. The scripture, the word didn't. That's for somebody else. God will bring you to a place sometimes of hurting so he can send his divine help. Comes walking off that mountain, off of Penuel, a mountain named after him. You've wrestled with man and you've wrestled with God, and your life's still been preserved. We pick up where I started to read. In the 33rd chapter the book of Genesis. He said he began to come down that hill, came down that mountain, beat up, bruised up, over himself, doesn't care about the power anymore, doesn't care about the authority anymore, doesn't care about the money anymore, doesn't care about the things of the world, comes walking down that mountain. And the scripture says, and Jacob lifted up his eyes. He lifted up, and I believe when the scripture says that, the scriptures I read, he stopped looking at himself. He lifted up his eyes. And he said, God, I can't make the change in me. I can't do it on my own. And when we get to that place, God will fix the missing piece. He lifts up his eyes. He lifts up his eyes and he sees his brother. He said, you're the missing piece. You're the pain that I've felt for all these years. I need you with me. And if I could plead with people all over this room, brothers, sisters, families, I need you. And you know what the crazy thing is? Nathan, you need me. Lord gave me this word. And don't read into me over here being theatrical with my brother. We're all good. Lord spoke three things to me. Do I have one more minute? This morning I said in the first service, Micah, I said during a service on a Thursday night, I said, this is a new time, this is a new season, something's happening. Do you sense it? If you do, just wave at me. Hands all over this place. I said that to Micah. Or I said it during a service, and Micah came up to me afterwards. And Micah said to me, I've heard stuff like that my whole life in church. And a lot of times the type, and you're right, Micah, a lot of times it is, but he said something to me after that. He said, this time, it's not hype. It's real. There's a new season coming to this house. And it's not through a man. It's not through a person. It's through the person of the Holy Spirit. There's three things that we need to do. We must lift up our eyes from ourselves. We must put them back on the needs of this community. We got to stop eating ourselves. We got to get out these doors. I'm preaching to me. The Lord spoke this to me first. We've got to stop worrying about ourselves and put the needs back on the community. If you write anything down, write this down. We must commit people to people that they belong. Then we must commit to them, to helping them believe. And then number three, we must help with their behavior. Can you say amen? Number two, we must have our brothers and sisters with us to be whole. We cannot do it alone. You can't do it alone. You listening to me? You cool guys sitting somewhere. I do this all my own. I don't need anybody. Okay, I'll wait to see your tendon get pulled in your hip then. Can't do it alone. And number three. And when I wrote this down, I'm sorry. When I wrote this down, I felt this so strong in my spirit. Number three, you have to forgive you. You have to forgive yourself. You cannot be effective in ministry. There's people all over this place that stay uninvolved because you can't forgive you. You just sit, you just crack the door, you walk in, you got your seat. go ahead and tell me something nice, and you're right back out the back door, because the pain of the past, you can't let it go. Number three, you must forgive yourself. Would you stand with me this morning? There's an old song, Rufus. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Would you lift your hand and sing this? Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou. Would the singers come up?
You're blessed, my precious lady.
Listen to these words. Oh, consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Lift your head up. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope,
and my soul be lost in thine.
So me this morning. The Lord's just been working on me. He's been just grinding on my spirit. You can't get your eyes off yourself. You can't forgive yourself. The Lord wants to do a work in you. If that's you this morning, I'm not going to ask you to come, but will you lift your hand just to heaven right now and say, that's me. Hands all over this place. Father, in Jesus' name, started in me. Lord, start it in me. Start it in my family first. Start it in us. Father, Lord, start it in my kids. Father, I ask you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that a care, that a true love, that a true passion for people would break out in this house. Father, that it break out on the right. That it break out on the left. And Father, that you'd fill every spirit in this house with fresh glory from heaven. And Lord, I pray for that person who struggled to forgive themselves. God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, your grace would rain down in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, we love you. I care for you so much. You know, can I just tell you one more thing and just be brutally honest with you? Can I? There was times I used to tell people I loved them. I didn't love them. I used to get right up here and lie to you. But I can tell you something. I'm like Jacob. I'm just like Jacob. It took me some time. It took me some falling. It took me some messing up. And there was a few people in here that loved me. Right along the way. And now I can say, I love you. If the prayer people will come, if you want prayer, come down here and get prayer before you leave. If not, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy the 55-degree weather. Now that deserves an amen. Draw me near.